Let's get the obvious stuff out of the way.
You're not human, are you?
Well, it's tough to get any more obvious than that.
If I had to guess, I'd say you're a program from the machine world. So is he.
So far, so good.
But if that's true, that could mean you are part of this system. Another kind of control.
Keep going.
I suppose the most obvious question is, how can I trust you?
Bingo. It is a pickle, no doubt about it. Bad news is there's no way if you can really know whether I'm here to help you or not. So it's really up to you. Just have to make up your own mind to either accept what I'm going to tell you or reject it. Ken?
You already know if I'm going to take it?
Wouldn't be much of an oracle if I didn't.
But if you already know, how can I make a choice?
Because you didn't come here to make the choice. You've already made it. You're here to try to understand why you made it. I thought you'd have figured that out by now.
Why are you here?
Same reason. I love candy.
But why help us?
We're all here to do what we're all here to do. I'm interested in one thing, Neil, the future. And believe me, I know the only way to get there is together.
Welcome to Flavor Living Radio. This is Bryant, your host. Today, we want to thank you for tuning in. Today, we have a great guest, Man. She is from Maine, Portland, Maine. But we happened to catch up with her in California on the West Coast. Her name is Kathy Nash Holly. But before we go there, we have some events that's going on. One of the events I wanted to say was happy birthday to my father. Yes, he is a retired captain for 23 years. He's been in the military, and I wanted to wish him a happy birthday today. I mean, if it wasn't for our family, we would have traveled overseas to many bases in America, trying out different foods, meeting cool people, and just, you know, the military life is cool. And it's also, you're learning everything, and I just want to wish my father a happy birthday, JJ, Captain James, a great birthday coming up. His birthday is on Friday. So if you happen to hear the show on Friday, August the 7th, say, hey, happy birthday to Brian's father, James. All right. And wait a minute. I do got a song for my dad. I want to play this song here while I'm on the air. You know, one second. Let me see what I got here. Welcome back. I had to play that song. That's for my dad. Happy birthday. And for those who are born in August, happy birthday to you too. All right? To the Lions, happy birthday. All right. So, listen, let's get back to our show. And we have a great guest. I want to put her on And listen, we're going straight there. We're going to talk to Kathy Nash Hawley. She is like the expert on, I'm not going to tell you much, but all I can say is the word flavor. Yes, the word flavor. This fits our show. This fits to. Please have your pens and notepads out because this is going to be really a good show about the trends in this, the word flavor, the trends from the past, the future, and the present. Here's Kathy.
Editor of a magazine that comes out 6 times a year. It's called Flavor and the Menu. And she's now in California. She's on the Pacific. You're in the Pacific Ocean. I'm at the Atlantic Ocean in Newport Beach, California. I want to welcome publisher and editor Kathy Nash Hawley. How are you doing?
Very good. Thank you very much. Very much for having me.
Wow. Thank you for being on our show and just having it. You know, you're kind of, she basically is the she's like the Oracle food. The food cooking oracle. That's why we had to have you on the show. Yes, you're the oracle.
Fantastic.
Yes, the oracle of food trends and what's going on in the menus. How is it? You're at a convention now there in Newport Beach, California. How's it going there on the West Coast?
Well, we've just finished up our annual flavor experience, and this is an annual convention for chefs and menu developers. We get together here in Southern California each year and talk food and flavor for 3 days. So it's been fantastic.
Wow. Yeah, I've noticed it's for the, it's like one of the number one food and beverage industry conferences for makers and everything.
Decision makers, absolutely. Yes, it's a fantastic brainstorming event, and we talk a lot of food trends, beverage trends, and, you know, very exciting and fulfilling for all senses, for sure.
Well, I mean, you know, I was looking at the, how did you start getting into, as far as deciding, this is what I want to do as a publisher and everything, as a publisher and editor-in-chief of a magazine?
Well, I'll tell you, I've been in this role for, you know, 16, 17 years now. And I was fortunate to be offered a position on a magazine that's very stimulating. And I had transitioned from another publication in the seafood industry. So the timing was right, and it just was kind of things happening, falling into place, as we say. But our goal, we have a unique publication in that we're in print 6 times a year, and we're also digital online at getflavor.com. We reach an audience of high-volume chefs and menu developers and beverage developers, and these are the folks that really have influence over the majority of menus nationwide. So they're the chain restaurants, their hotels, their cruise ships, their business and industry, like the Compass Group and H&F Host, and these are all the chefs that really are doing high volume menu decision making. So it's a tricky audience, and they have a lot to factor in when they make menu development decisions.
Well, so basically you're kind of getting their input and giving your input too back, and is it kind of like a round table back, you know, as far as calling them and they're calling you?
Yes, it is. And we have good relations with a lot of our readers, so I reach out to them regularly, see what they're doing, see what their challenges are, what kind of trends really meet their needs. But, you know, it's easy to talk restaurant trends or food and beverage trends to an audience that might be an independent chef, because we all know that there is such a foodie culture going on right now. And independent restaurants are, you know, they're doing amazing things, and they can make changes very quickly on their menu. So, and they can try new things, and if they don't work, the next day they're off the menu, no harm done. But on a higher volume scale, when you're talking about Applebee's, there's much more consideration that has to go into this, a much longer pipeline of menu development to incorporate something like sriracha, for example. So that's something, so we talk about trends that are, you know, we look to independent restaurants and see what they're doing. and other factors like global development. And we translate the trends that we think have potential on a higher volume scale that even mainstream America might eventually be ready for.
Now, I saw that you were on the board of the International Food Service Council. Do you make decisions also internationally? Is it America? I know America is like,
yeah.
First,
yeah.
And international, America, you know.
Well, we are, I'm on the board of the International Food Service Editors Council, and that is an association that represents trade publishers in food service. So a lot of similar publications that talk about, you know, whether it's restaurant management and development, food safety, but all of us talk about food trends to some capacity in various industry segments. But when we're talking international, our audience is really in the U.S., but we really look internationally for trends. And, you know, the world's getting smaller. Trends are traveling so much faster now that we have to look abroad to kind of see what might be coming down the pipeline.
I mean, it has to, you know, as far as the, the different awards for the different top restaurants, and you know, Gold Star, Medallion, just everything, you know,
the Michelin's, all of these. Yeah.
When you're talking about the, as far as the top 10, I kind of wanted to ask you, because being the guru and of the past 17 years, what's been going on as far as the trends? This is what we had to have you on the show for this. What's been going on for the food trends for the last 10 years?
Well, it's been very interesting. You know, food trends used to traditionally travel, kind of trickle from, upscale white tablecloth restaurants down to, you know, the mom and pop restaurants. So that used to be the trajectory of trends, as you probably know. And then, you know, about 5 to 10 years ago, food trucks started making a play and street food started, you know, making its way into America in a new format. And so trends started coming up, and this kind of was timed with the economic downturn. So trends all of a sudden started coming up instead of just trickling down. They started trickling up from the street level, as we say. And so there was a transition in the trend cycle format, which, you know, it was flipped just really. You could really trace that back to the economic downturn in 2007 and 2008. And we saw chefs, very upscale chefs, start opening up burger shacks, for example.
Yeah.
And at that point, all of a sudden, Americans were more exposed to the flavors and flavor profiles and formats of these burgers, for example. And for $7, you could have access to a high-end chef's flavor development. So all of a sudden, you started opening up trend opportunities for mainstream America. And that informed menus across the country and changed kind of the cycle of trends. So at the same time, social media makes a big play, of course. We all know that. And we know how fast news travels anymore. So trends fell into the same format. So, we saw the Cronut, for example, that kind of croissant donut hybrid that was, has created a dessert frenzy over the last couple of years. That spiked up so much sharper as a trend format than anything previous. So we saw the trend cycle just accelerated. So before, it would take years from one trend in each, you know, to reach San Francisco to New York and maybe, you know, in some of Middle America.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, everybody in America knows what the Corona is. So that, you know, that we've seen the trend change drastically over the last 10 years, where they have a much steeper cycle and a much deeper drop when they're done.
So are we as, foodies, are we like, what's next? Are we kind of like that?
Yes, absolutely. And it's very interesting because we all are, right? We're all looking for the next thing, whether we're chefs in a menu development kitchen or not. You know, we're all wondering what's the next thing. So we've all seen this movement in sriracha, for example, and it's had a sharp increase over the last 2 years. And, you know, everybody knows pretty much what Sriracha is. It's become kind of almost a household name. And it's part of a bigger macro trend, for example, of our interest in global flavors and in heat and spicy, but spicy with flavor. So Sriracha, for example, is on the trajectory of trend format where we see it as a sauce, certainly, but now we're starting to see it in different formats, and that's the natural progression of trend cycle when you're talking about an ingredient. So Sriracha comes on the table as a Sriracha sauce, and that you might add to a taco or a hot dog or whatever it is, however you might enjoy it. But now we're seeing it in different formats. So we're seeing it as a Sriracha butter, for example. So we're seeing it mixed into a butter. We're seeing it as a flake. There's a company, Global Flavor Shakers, that's created dried Sriracha flakes that you can kind of sprinkle over various menu items. So now Sriracha's kind of changing its format. Now that it's become almost a household name, the natural progression is for it to change its format and come as other menu applications.
Hello, everyone. We're back here on The Flavor. We hope you're enjoying the interview with Kathy Nash Hawley. And can you tell she knows about flavor, Sriracha, as far as the new, what's going to happen, the conversion of one popular flavor, making it into different avenues, different developments. So, I was kind of keeping my ear to the ground. I ran across a percussionist, the Louisville Percussionists. It's an elementary school. It's 60 students between 7 and 14 years old. They're from 26 different counties, zip codes, in Louisville, Kentucky. And they put together, there's their elementary school teacher named Diane Downs. She put together the Louisville Leopard Percussionists. And you got to hear this song. This song is dedicated to Jimmy Page of the band Led Zeppelin. And you got to hear this song. This is a cool song right here.
1, 2, ready, go. Thank you.
Did you like? Yeah. That's what I was, I mean, you know, we had to put that in there, put the kind of add that to the show there. But we got to go back to Kathy and talk about more of the trends, the top 10 of 2015 and the future, because she has a lot more to say. And I'm just like, whew, she knows her. She's like, she's karate with flavor, with menu. She jujitsu. She's, whew. All right, let me go back. I got to go back.
Yeah, absolutely. And we kind of look at trends in Tijuana. There are longer term trends, and these are trends that are generally driven by our consumer demand. So if we're talking about health trends or sustainability or eco-friendly or, maybe grass-fed might be one of these. These are kind of longer term. They've got a slower burn in some ways, but they last longer, and they're more, based on consumers' interests. One big trend in restaurants right now, for example, is transparency. And what that means is restaurant operators want to be able to tell their consumer where their food came from, where it's coming from, mm-hmm. what type of ingredients are included, and if they can get there, clean labels, which means no additives, no preservatives. So that's a big movement, and I'm sure you've seen that in places like Panera.
Yes.
They have announced that they are really, taking this approach of clean labels and transparency.
Well, just the farm-to-table, too, farm-to-table mm-hmm. restaurants, and,
yep.
They tell you, hey, yep. We got this from the farm that's 20 miles away here, and they,
The connection to source is one of those long-term trends that will likely have a very long, long shelf life, as we say. And we're talking 10 plus years. And, the movement to natural and organic, those sorts of things, they're usually macro trends and they're usually driven by consumer demand. However, there are various short-term trends that, are not necessarily driven by consumer demand. I'll tell you that consumers didn't demand the cronut or sriracha, for example. Those come out of flavor in natural flavor innovation.
Yes, that's like
right. Those are kind of innovated in usually in flavor and form innovation cycles. So we'll see sriracha have its day certainly, and it's very big right now. We're seeing sriracha ketchup, there will be another flavor trend that will come up and not necessarily take its place, because I think where sriracha will go is into, again, a household name into the pantry. But next up, we'll see harissa step in, and that's the Moroccan chili paste. And it's got a very interesting depth of flavor, but we'll see that make more plays on
menu. It's called harissa.
H-A-R-I-S-S-A.
It sounds very Latin Spanish,
It's Moroccan. It's okay. Middle Eastern. It has a really nice complexity because of it's an interesting spice blend into a, and it comes in a paste format. Mm-hmm. So it's used in a lot of Moroccan, North African, dishes, okay. And definitely broader. It's part of this broader Eastern Med movement too, Eastern Mediterranean.
Okay. Wow. Now, how about your, as far as I'm trying to lead up to 2016, if I can get some. But for the 2000s, if you can give me a little bit of scoop. How about 2015? This is the year here today, and What happened today in 2015?
Trending. Well, I'll tell you what we've been talking about. For one, we are seeing a lot of movement in fermented beverages. And this is in the kombucha and vinegar drink and vinegar-based drinks like Shrub or Switchel. These are interesting beverages that they play into the younger generation's interest in sour flavor profiles.
Okay. They're called the Generation Z, as they call them, right?
Yeah, the youngest is Generation Z, yes. But millennials are the big play for restaurant operators right now. They're very interested in tapping into millennials, certainly, and Generation Z is next. But, you know, our flavor, we're all addicted to flavor in some format. And as generations, you know, as we age, the younger generations definitely strive for more flavor. But back to fermented beverages, there's been this big interest in vinegar, and vinegar applications in beverages. So kombucha, if you haven't had it, is basically like it's a fermented beverage. So it basically steeps like a tea, and it drinks like a vinegar spike. So, but it's very healthy for you, and that's been an interest now among younger consumers. But also there are other vinegar-based drinks that one is called a shrub, and that can be alcoholic as an alcoholic mixture or a non-alc refresher, basically. And it's kind of a fruit base with vinegar, and it provides a nice, refreshing, tart experience, flavor experience.
Now, I was wondering, and, you know, I was asking, the trends are that, you know, because I see you're in California, you know, I remember music trends, sometimes the music trend would come from the east and then go to the west, and then the west and go to the east. Can you distinguish where the trend is coming from? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's California. Yeah. Oh, that's New York, or, you know, or that's right. Georgia, or, you know, can you tell as far as?
Right. Well, you know, generally trends develop nowadays from urban markets, and the biggest urban markets, the biggest urban markets for food service trends or for food trends are going to be New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago. Those are really the big three. San Francisco, of course, has many exciting food opportunities and new openings. Seattle, Dallas,
Oregon, Portland.
Portland, Oregon, exactly. So there are the kind of secondary level, but really the biggest innovators we find seem to be coming out of New York, LA, and Chicago. And certainly there are, and then the trends trickle down and into kind of B-level cities and regions, but it's always going to be an urban movement and moving out to the rest of the country. That's generally the way trends fly.
Wow. You never, I'm being educated. Wow.
I'm good.
I'm seeing it. Wow. Can you, into your crystal ball, I know we have kind of a ways to go to 2016, but you know, there's like the elections coming up, the Olympics coming up, there's a whole bunch of things going in 2016, a lot of good events. What's going to happen, do you think, in 2016?
Well, we talk, you know, we look specifically more to flavor and food trends and beverage trends, but there are some broader movements. Certainly in food service, when it comes to restaurants, customizability, giving the customer control is a big thing, especially with younger generations.
You need more technology? Like technology?
Not necessarily technology. Technology definitely plays a part,
yes.
But in their ability to customize their own menu item. So if you can, and Chipotle kind of started this off, where you're able to walk down the line and decide which flavors you're going to use.
Love it.
So a lot of restaurants are kind of looking to that model and how they can go further. So that will be a continuation of just looking at ways operators or restaurants can offer consumers more customizability to give them control. Additionally, particular flavors. I think that you could say Cuba now with the, with Cuba opening up, as you could say.
Okay.
We might see some interesting flavor profiles coming out of Cuba. I don't know if it'll make mainstream, but I think we'll see some ingredients and dishes that might make a play on more menus across the country.
Nice. Wow, so there it is for 2000. You know, I was thinking, I had some questions, some fun questions I wanted to ask, if I could.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Because you're like the oracle. Not every day we get the food oracle on Flavor Living Radio, you know. So I had to ask some good some questions, you know. What did you eat last night?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I'll tell you what I had last time.
Yeah, we want to know.
Because I was, and because I am at our flavor experience, so here we really push the boundaries when it comes to flavors and menu items. But I'll tell you what I had last night.
Yeah.
I had and I think this could... this could make a play on bigger menus.
Okay.
But I had porridge, believe it or not.
Porridge?
Porridge.
Wow.
And
wow.
I'll tell you, it was porridge it was a base of porridge.
Okay.
With pork. And I'm trying to find, I can't recall the actual menu description.
Okay.
But it was a flavored pork topping and pickled kale.
Okay.
Crisp pickled kale.
Yes, that's right.
Crispy fried onions to provide the texture and some other flavoring agents I can't recall top of mind. But this was basically to show the potential with porridge. And porridge is something that's enjoyed in other countries. Yes, it's very trendy. I don't know if it'll be making mainstream menus anytime, but do look for porridge as an opportunity because basically you could consider porridge an Asian risotto because it's a very comforting base of porridge. It's like oatmeal. And then you add on these incredible flavor-building toppings, whether it's a shredded pork or chicken or a soft-cooked egg. And then you've got texture elements like crispy onions or toasted peanuts or something. And then add another fermented flavor like the pickled kale strips that were served with it. So there's some really interesting flavor layering.
That's like, that was jujitsu.
That was what I had. And
yeah.
To accompany that, the drink I had was a matcha lemonade. So matcha is a green tea powder that's very trending right now, and you can go to probably a forward thinking coffee shop and get a matcha latte, for example, and it's bright green, it kind of falls into the health movement.
Mm-hmm.
But there are more innovations within matcha that it can be a cold drink as well. And this particular chef, Jerry Ludwig, was showing it as a refresher in a lemonade, so it was a matcha-flavored lemonade. So that was his preparation, and that's what I had last night.
And that was just last night.
That's last night. I happened to be in the right place. The other day of the week, I might have just had a burger. So that was exciting.
Starting out in a restaurant, and they're just starting it out, is there any advice you'd like to give to them? And they're starting a new, as far as their menu and... and everything
mm-hmm.
like that. What advice would you give?
Yeah.
I heard you saying use inspiration, and that is so awesome, but is there advice you would give them for?
Well, I think, it's tough. It's a tough business because the restaurant failure rate is very high, as you probably know. But I'm inspired by how many chefs are out there doing amazing things and finding great success with it. But I guess advice, it's not certainly my line of work, but in an imaginary role, if I were to give advice, the biggest would be to find a menu item. I mean, certainly, I'm assuming this person is inspired and talented and capable.
Yeah.
But to find a menu item that speaks to a broad audience in a comfort format and be able to make it your own and make it signature and unique. So whether you're opening a burger joint or you're experimenting with loaded French fries, for example, anchor in a comfort base that speaks to a broader audience and use your flavor talent to make it grown and make it really unique because and memorable for that matter for people to keep coming back for.
Wow. I mean, telling us what the trends are for the past, present, and can you tell us about how to find or can somebody like myself, as far as the magazine, is it for everybody, correct?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. It's our website at Get Flavor. Com is available for anyone. We have an iPad app that's downloadable. The magazine itself is a free subscription to food service, to those in the food service industry. So if your listeners qualify, please go and subscribe on our website.
Well, thank you for being on our show. We have the Oracle, an honor, being on our show.
Thank you. I'm humbled by that. Yeah. But thank you very much. I really appreciate the opportunity.
So, thank you, Kathy Nash Holly. Thanks for helping me on our show. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
That was our show. There you have it. Did you take all that in? I've got to re-listen to the show. That was a lot of good trends there happening. That brought us up to speed, 2015 to 2016. So thanks for listening to our show. Tune in next week for more, even from Scarf and Carf from the UK. And drive safe and eat well and enjoy your week. Here on The Flavor.
Restaurants and recipes with adventure.